First Peter chapter number 1. I kind of read this Sunday night, and the Lord just touched my heart and said, preach there. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach here this morning. First Peter chapter number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Maybe some of y'all need to underline that verse for me there. That word, lively. That's why I'm excited. It's a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can underline that too. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesies of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man his work, pass the time of your sojourning here in faith and fear. For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious, man, it's precious. Is it precious? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of this world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. As the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Father, I pray, God, that you would help us this morning. I pray, God, that whatever distractions, God, would come up, Lord, you'd take care of them, Father, quickly. Help, Lord, I pray, the people. God, there's many in here, Lord, lost. God, we've got some that are saved. God, I pray this morning they would be respectful to one another as though their soul was on the line. I pray that you would move in amongst us and convict those sinners, Lord, that are nearest hell this morning, and bring them to that place of repentance, of trusting in the finished work, the precious blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. Help us now this morning. I pray for your touch on my mouth, my words, God, would come from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Here in this first part of this chapter, we're looking in verse number 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit unto the unto obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace. We're looking first at the blood. We're going to look at the blood, but I want to catch this morning. Elect means that after, listen, you can go through. This is where people will twist the Scripture. So I want to just hit this morning just for a second. This elect does not mean you that talking about elect, certain people are elect to go to heaven, certain are pre-elected to go to hell. That's not what he's talking about here. He's elect, meaning talking about that when you get saved, you are born into the family of God. We've talked about this. When you get saved, when you get born again, you are put into the family two ways. And then one of these days, we'll be put into the family the third way. He's talking about the elect, the foreknowledge of God. He predestined us to become the sons of God. When we get saved, we are elect in that way. We're not elect that certain people in here this morning, you're on the road to hell and you have no choice in that. No, that is not what that means. He said elect, meaning that you're going to become a son of God when you get saved, or a daughter of God, the family of God when you get saved, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, he wouldn't be God if he didn't know who was going to get saved and who wasn't. But we don't know who's going to get saved and who's not. So that's why he tells us to go into all the world. We talked about it this morning. If you missed Sunday school, man, you missed it this morning. We talked about the book of Acts. We're to the Ethiopian eunuch. And what you see over the next three chapters, you'll see the Ethiopian eunuch get saved. You'll see Paul, the Saul at that time, get saved. And then in chapter number 10, you'll see Cornelius get saved. And what we have there, those three chapters of 8, 9, and 10, you have a picture of the three sons of Noah getting saved. You have Ham, Shem, and then finally Japheth being saved in those. So it's a picture of that all God commanded his word to go to every nation. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. Does not matter. Listen, we have just as much responsibility to send the yellow man the word of God. We have just as much responsibility to give the black man the word of God. We have just as much responsibility to give the red man the word of God as we do the white man. It does not matter the color of somebody's skin. Everybody should have the gospel put in their hands and the chance to hear the truth. And so he's talking about we're elect. When we get saved, we're all one family in God. We are. But now while we're on this earth, we are in the family of God, but God does still make some distinctions in some things, because I've had people that think that just because we're all the one in family of God, that they're just all the lines are blurred and there is no more lines anymore. Listen, just because the Bible says me and my wife, we're equals in God. We are. She's equal with God. I'm equal with God. Paul talks about that. But no matter what happens on this earth, I'll never be able to have a child. So we're not equals as far as this fleshly body concerns. It's talking, when he talks about that, he's talking about spiritual things. Does that make women any less? Absolutely not. But there's some things that women can do that men can't. Some things men can do that women can't. That does not mean that we're unequal. It means that we just have different responsibilities. So here we got now. I want to go into the blood of Jesus this morning because, listen, I want you to understand this is a very important doctrine. Because many people deny the blood of Jesus. One of the things that Brother Walker talked about, and again, I may do it tonight. I'm wanting to preach a little bit on the Word of God before we get into what I want to get into on Sunday nights. Sunday night, I'm going to try, and I said it before, but I'm going to try to get into, and this is very important. If you want to be a member of this church, you need to be here. I'm going to start going through the constitution of what the church is going to be. I'm going to preach through the constitution, different things in the constitution. So if you want to be a member of this church, I need you to come. But the first couple of weeks, maybe, I know tonight, I feel like God's led me to go even deeper into the Word of God and give you some more examples and show you one of the things that Brother Walker talked about. He just talked about a little bit, is these modern Bibles. They attack the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why there's so many people that deny the blood. Again, I've got somebody here in this town that wants to argue with me, and I'm just not wasting my time. As soon as it started up, God brought that scripture to my mind in the book of Proverbs. There was no doubt about it because I just ran across it before all of it started, talking about if you argue with a fool, then it makes you a fool too. And I can't remember the exact scripture. I think it's in Proverbs 26. I could look it up, but for sake of time, I'm not going to. Listen, when you start arguing with a fool, you've lowered yourself down to there. That's why, like, we can't have a conversation politically in our day and time, because the people just cannot get along in a conversation politically. It's my way or the highway, if no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so that's the way it is. But listen, they attack the blood of Jesus Christ. They take out many references to the blood. They attack the deity of Jesus Christ. They change the King James Bible is very careful when they translate it to never refer to Joseph as his father. There's only one time, and it's not him, it's the Pharisees that said refers to him. And so they kept that in context. Other than that, when God speaks and the other prophets and all speak, they never refer to Joseph as Jesus' father. All modern, most modern Bibles, they'll always change Joseph and his mother into his father and mother. They're attacking the deity of Jesus Christ, the fact that God is his father. They go through all these different things. And like I said, I'll try to go through some of it tonight. And so I invite you to please come back. But this morning now, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. Just a few pages over from where you're at here. Hebrews chapter number 9. We're talking about the blood. He said the sprinkling of the blood here. So in Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. Let's start in verse number 11. Now, it's going to be some long reading, but I want you to keep up, and I'll try to give commentary as we go along. But I want you to see this. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building. One of the things that you need to understand, and it'll get on down in here, and it'll say that tabernacle that they built here on this earth is a picture of what's in glory. It's a replica of what's over there. He says that. A more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands. He says in verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I don't know how anybody could take that any other way than that Jesus, by His own blood, entered in to heaven, entered into the tabernacle in heaven. I don't know how you could take that any other way. I know how, because you lost. When you deny the blood of Jesus, if you don't want to believe, you're lost. I believe there's, listen, we sang it, I believe. You can believe what you want to. I know what the Bible says, and I believe exactly what the Bible says, that He, through His own blood, is entered into the tabernacle in heaven to stand before God for us on our behalf. And because of His blood, we are made clean. There's power in the blood. Amen. Have you been washed in the blood? He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once. There's a man out in California that teaches that this is symbolic. I don't believe that. I believe the Bible literally. When He says He entered in once by His own blood, I believe that Jesus took His blood and applied it to the mercy seat in heaven. And that's how we're saved. That's how we are made one back and reconciled back to God, because He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, of how much more shall the blood of Christ? It does not say a picture. It says it's the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Listen, we shouldn't be afraid to say about the blood of Jesus. And we shouldn't be afraid to take it as exactly what it means. Somebody in this town trying to tell me I don't know what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. I may not know everything the Bible says, but I know that without the blood, I would not be able to stand here today as a saved man. And it ain't no figurative thing. I believe it is the literal blood. He spilled every drop. When they pierced His side, forthwith came out blood and water, signifying there was nothing left. And He took that blood when He rose on the third day. He told Mary, He said, "Don't you touch me. I have not yet ascended." Why? Because just as those holy priests in the Old Testament, nobody was allowed. When they sanctified them, when they put blood on them, nobody was to touch that holy priest till he entered into that holies and came back out, because he would have been defiled. He told Mary, he said, "Don't you touch me, I've not yet ascended yet." He says in verse 15, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. For a testament is a force of after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood." So if the first testament, the Old Testament, the law, was not dedicated without blood, how can the second one, how can the better one, how can not be dedicated with blood? He says in verse 19, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book at all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Almost all things. Why aren't all things? Because there's one sin, the Bible makes very clear, there's one sin that will not be forgiven in this life, neither in the life to come. And it's not suicide. It's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. It's the only sin that's not coverable, that's not forgivable by the blood. That is the only sin. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. This morning, is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you? If you try to shake it off and you try to run the Holy Spirit of God off of you, that's blasphemy. If you try to make a mockery and a joke out of the Holy Spirit of God, that's blasphemy. And it's not forgiven in this life, neither will it be. That's because you can never be forgiven. Suicide, if you're saved, even somebody that's saved, if they got down enough, the man that we got saved under, he got the testimony, believes that his dad was a saved man. His dad got depressed. They put him on some of those antidepressant pills. His dad went out with a shotgun or a rifle, I can't remember which one it was, went out into his barn up in Michigan and shot himself. Did that take away his salvation? Absolutely not. How do I know that? Well, we'll get back over in Peter in a minute and I'll show you why. I know it couldn't take your salvation. Listen, that don't take your salvation. If you got salvation, you can't. It don't revolve around us other than us just receiving it. That's it. Once we do that, you're sealed. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That is your earnest down payment. You are sealed until the day of redemption. I told you before, but this is worse than the mafia. You could possibly get out of the mafia. When you get it birthed into the family of God, you ain't getting out of it. Praise God, you wouldn't want to, Paul says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter number 7, he says, talking about repentance, he said, not to be repented of. You won't want to get out of it. Once you get really into the family of God, you won't want to get out of it. He said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. But without shedding of blood, there is no remission. If Jesus hadn't shed his blood, if Jesus hadn't given his blood, there'd be no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven, in the heavens, should be purified with these. We're purified with what? With the blood, Jesus' blood. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. He didn't enter into the Jews' holy of holies. He didn't enter into the Jews' tabernacle. He entered into the tabernacle in heaven. He entered into the throne room of God. He said, which are the figure of the true things. So this pattern that God gave Moses was after what was in heaven. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. That's why we don't believe and know what the Bible says. When we practice communion, it does not turn into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to sacrifice him no more. He's entered in once. That's it. Then you don't need it. It's a picture. When you take the body and blood, when you take the bread and the grape juice, the wine, new wine, we believe in new wine, as new and fresh as you can get it, because it's a picture of the perfect, precious blood of Jesus. Brother Shepherd told me, and if, by the grace of God, if we can, when we get to finally doing communion, I'm going to, hopefully I can do it. There's a place over here in Salina where they have they sell fresh grape juice without any preservatives in it. He said it's as fresh and as near perfect as you will get on this earth. He said, I just feel like that's what you ought to do because it represents the perfect, the precious blood of Christ. I said, man, that sounds good, brother. I think I'm going to try to do that myself when we do it. We're not, listen, wine is corrupt. Alcoholic drink is corrupt. The book of Proverbs talks about long before they ever had what is that thing called? The brain is not a magnifying glass, but a microscope. Long before they ever had a microscope, God told Solomon that it's alive. Long before they ever could have known, God told Solomon, it's alive. He said it moved itself right in the cup. You go read the book of Proverbs. He talks about alcoholic drink. He knew all that. That's why it can't represent the body blood. It's corrupt. He says now, for then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed unto man, once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look unto him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And he says now in verse 19 of the next chapter, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? Why? How can we do that? By the blood of Jesus. That's not a picture. We can enter in, chapter Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you don't have to come to me to have me pray for you. You don't have to go, listen to me, and you don't have to go to your wife unless you're not living right. And I hope, and she'll pray for you to get yourself right. Women, you don't have to go to your husbands. We can have boldness by the blood of Christ to enter to the throne room. Amen. Each one of us ourselves, as long as you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, God doesn't hear you. God only hears the prayers of those that are saved. The only prayer, these people that say, well, God didn't hear me, my time of need. God doesn't hear the lost. The only prayer of a lost person that God hears is the prayer for salvation. That's it. He does not hear the prayers of lost people. No matter how people say, but I'm his child. No, you're not. If you've not been saved, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood for the remission of your sins, if you ain't believed in that, repent of your sin, you're not saved this morning. And he don't hear your prayers. The only prayer he hears is the prayer of yourself for your salvation. I don't care if you pray for him. Pray to him every day, all day long. The only prayer of a lost person he hears is the prayer for salvation. Now listen, that's not to say, like the Bible says, that the angels of these little ones stand before God. Now that's not the same thing. The angels of these little ones, watching over Bonnie and Natalie, the angels, their guardian angels it talks about, and that's what people refer to it, they can behold the face of God and tell God what's going on. But when they get old enough and they get really praying, God doesn't hear their prayers until you're saved. God don't hear your prayers until you get saved. God, if you're not saved this morning, God don't hear your prayer. If you truly ain't been saved, born again, blood bought, you're not saved this morning, you can go in there and claim you're going in there all you want to. All these totally people get offended. You know, I don't remember how many of y'all remember. But every time there's a major tragedy, you always say, why did God let this happen? Y'all remember, I don't know how it was here. Y'all remember, I think it was it Minnesota, that bridge collapsed? It was several years ago, the bridge collapsed. And on the news and the people I was around on, how could God let this happen? Wait a minute here. You have 365 days a year, 364 of them, everything goes right, one thing goes wrong. You never give God credit. You want to give it to Mother Nature and everything else. And the one time something bad goes home in your life, you say, how did God let this happen to me? How about all the other things he's done for you? We walk around like a bunch of miserable people. We got two good legs, two good arms, and a strong back. And when something bad goes happens, Why did God let this happen to me? Maybe God's trying to get your attention. It's about time God got some of his attention. How long is it going to be? What's it going to take? I'm telling you what. You know what it took for me? It took God breaking me over the coals of hell before I repented of my sins. I was a wicked, stubborn, hard-headed, prideful young boy at 18 years old. And God showed me being cast into hell, raped me over the coals of hell. There were nights I went to sleep thinking, God, I'm not going to wake up in the morning. If I wake up, I'm going to wake up in hell. No, I was lost. But too prideful to walk to an altar and ask God to save me. Night after night, I go to bed. Man, under conviction, God, why? Just too prideful to humble myself down before him or not. There's some of you in here probably the same way. You may get away from the preaching, and you may get away from the Word of God by not reading, but you won't get away from the Holy Spirit of God. He won't force you to be saved, but he'll work in your life to wishing you had. And when he finally leaves you because you refuse to get saved, you'll beg just like that person in Proverbs chapter number 1. At the end of the chapter, he said, I called unto you, and you would not answer. And he says, then when you come calling to me, I'll laugh when you're claiming to come. God won't, he won't deal with you forever. He won't deal with you for the rest of your life. He'll deal with you. The wind bloweth, John chapter number 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, or where it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. I remember we spent 5 years on the education, coming back and forth through Kansas many times, and all I remember was the wind and how bad the wind was. But I'm telling you what, we've been here for 2 years, and I'm still waiting for the wind to kick back up again. Where's it been? Things don't always, the wind don't always blow. There'll come a period in your life. He may blow for 2 years, but there may come a period in your life where God says, the wind's gone. And you'll wish that wind would blow again. Back over here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, we talk about the blood. Verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Number 2 here, he says in verse number 3, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood, he's gotten us by the blood. He's begotten us. He's birthed us into the family. Those of us that are saved this morning, he has begotten us. That's just like that one, that term there. We always quote that scripture. John chapter number 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We just said he begotten us. That's right. First one that he begot was Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. He begot Jesus. Through Mary, Mary was a virgin. It was nothing. Listen, she was not sinful, sinless. She still sinned. The Bible says that after she gave birth to Jesus, what did she do? She went and presented the sacrifice that she would have to because she was not sinless. She may have been the flesh, the mother of Jesus' flesh, but she's not the mother of God. She's a sinner just like you and I. He begot Jesus in flesh. And he begets us by the Spirit when you get saved. Born again. When you get born again, what are you? Birthed into the family of God. When you're born again, you're begotten. You're born again to the family of God. And then the Bible says you all will also cry the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so we're adopted into the family. When we get saved, you're born again to the family, and you're adopted into the family. And one of these days, at the marriage supper, those of us that are saved will be married to the Lord. The bride and the bridegroom will be married at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be eating Mater sandwiches and Krispy Kreme donuts and drinking sweet tea. Some of you will have to learn how to get a taste for some sweet tea, don't you? I don't know. Well, I don't know what we're having. I know I like to, listen, he's begotten me. But he's not begotten me to be. You could be miserable all you want to. I think you're miserable because you ain't got nothing. I'm not going to be miserable. I've been on job sites where guys try to make me feel bad about being saved. I'm not. He says he's begotten us unto a lively hope. I'm lively as they come. Animate, that's the word I like. I want to be as animated as possible. I want people to come in and think, man, what in the world has he got? I got Jesus.
Amen.
And the reason you ain't, because you ain't got nothing. You ain't got Jesus. Hold it. But preacher, I believe. Yeah, the devil's believing tremble, but has he done anything in your life? Is he real in you? Has he birthed you into the family? Has he made you lively, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus? Listen, he says, another part, I ain't got this in here, but he says, if in this life only we have hope, we'd be of all men most miserable. But I don't have hope in this world only. I got hope in the life after. That's why I don't have, listen, I'm not looking for death, and I'm not trying to die. Some of y'all think I probably am because I'm trying to catch this virus and get it over with. I'm not looking for death, but I'm not living in fear either. Now, I'm not, listen, but we talk about this. Being like Brother Shepherd was saying, it's not living in fear when they have the pre-existing conditions. That's not living in fear, that's being wise. There's a difference. Living in fear is some college-age kid that has no health issues, walking around with hand sanitizers and three masks on, going, oh, no. Of course you are. You're in fear because you ain't got no hope. I got hope this morning. My hope's in Jesus and nothing else.
Amen.
Nothing else. I'm begotten of Him. Number three, man, I've got a bond. I don't have to worry about myself. Listen, verse number 5. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. And listen, you're not kept by yourself. These bunch of Pentecostals and stuff. I got into a discussion with a guy one time. He said, well, I can lose my salvation. I said, how? It's not kept by you. He said, well, I can take myself out of God's hand. The Bible says no man can take you out of God's hand. Aren't you a man? Yeah, but I can take myself out. That's funny because Paul says that he talks about salvation there in 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 7, or 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 7. Don't quote me on it. But it's around verse number 12 of whatever chapter it is in 2 Corinthians. But he says, talks about repentance, and it says not to be repented of. When you get saved, you won't want to lose these. I thought, man, when I finally got settled in my heart, I thought, man, this is the greatest thing ever. And I still think that almost 20 years later. November, I'll be 20 years old in glory. 20 years, God saved my soul. And it just gets better and better and gooder and sweeter. Now, not every day. I know sometimes we sing that song. I don't know if we sung it out here or not, but there's a song that we sing, every day with Jesus is better than the day before. I know not every day. I know it probably wasn't the best day when you had to have cancer cut out of you or when you got to. Sometimes it's not. So, listen, good. But as long as Jesus is there, I can make it through. I've got somebody. I've got a lively hope to help me get through it.
Amen.
I've been blessed, man. Listen, I've got a bond with the Lord. You know, I've got a bond with the Lord. It's not relying on me. You believe you can just do whatever you want to and act you saved. I believe you can, but I believe if you truly got saved, you won't want to. See, these people say, well, if you sin, you can lose your salvation. We Baptists, we believe stronger than that. I believe if you go back out and sin and live in sin, you never got it to begin with. See, these people say, oh, if you go out and sin, then you can lose your salvation. I believe the Bible teaches that if you go back out, the dog returns to his vomit, and the pig returns to the mud. Why? Because they never got it. If you go back out and you're sin, after you claim to get saved, you go back and cussing, you're drinking, your wicked lifestyle, your immoral living, you never got to begin with. You never got to begin with. I believe stronger than anybody said, well, you lose it. No, you never got to begin with. You got, so what you got was some fake thing. you never got it. Because Jesus says here, Peter writes it there in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God. I can't control. If I was holding on to God's hand, you know what would happen? I'd let go. When you're walking around, all of us with adults, and you're walking around with your little two-year-old, are you really expecting them to hold on to your hand, or are you to hold on to their hand? If you're expecting a two-year-old or a three-year-old to hold on to your hand while you're crossing the street, you ain't fitting to be a parent, I can tell you that much. When you cross the street with a two-year-old or a three-year-old, what do? You grab that hand tightly, you pull them up, and you drag them along. You ain't saying, it's okay, little Billy, you just take my little finger right there. That's how some of you think God's got you right there. Go ahead, little Billy. Where'd he go? That's how some of you think God's got you. You grab that kid and you hold on to him. When you go into an amusement park or where a big crowd is, you don't expect the little five-year-old to hold on to you. What do? You grab hold of him. Years ago, I don't know, I was probably five, maybe younger. I had to be younger. I was probably three, four, five, somewhere right in there. We went to Opryland. Any of y'all ever heard of Opryland? It's like Carowinds. There, those different things. We went to Opryland. My mom and dad got the dirtiest looks. It's kind of funny now because my mom and dad had them things years. You know how you see the backpacks with the strap that goes to the parents? My mom and dad had something like that to us. But it wasn't backpacks, it was one they put on, strapped your arm. They had four boys, two adults, they strapped one to each arm. And they said they'd get all kinds of dirty looks. My mom and dad said, you know what though? We didn't have to worry about where our kids got to. Now they put them on backpacks and different things, man. I think, my mom and dad was way ahead. They did. They had looked like telephone cords, red. If I remember correctly, I think it was like red looking telephone cords. Kids are going, what's a telephone cord? But it's strapped to their arm, it's strapped to the kids' arms, and that's how, and they can only go, you can only go so far. You're not even on that. God's got to hold you. You're kept by His power through faith unto salvation. When you put your faith and trust in Him and you believed in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, when you believed in the death, burial, and resurrection, when you believed those things by faith, you're kept by God's power unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. One of these days, God delays, and I don't go by the way of the rapture. I'll go by the way of the grave. I'll close my eyes in death, and I'll open my eyes in glory. How about it this morning? Would you do that? If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, preacher, I hope so. I think so. John says in 1 John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Worst thing you can do is sit there service after service knowing that you're lost or thinking that you've got something. Where I've always believed and afraid to put your pride behind you and come to this altar. I'll tell you what, there's some men in the church that have. There's some men in this church that they put aside years of pride and said, you know what? I'd rather go to heaven than spend an eternity in hell thinking, well, I thought I was saved. Number four, being born again. He says, verse 18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. You know, I bet every one of us in here. Now, mine probably can't tell too much because I've tried my best to raise mine. But I bet every one of us in here could probably give some kind of vain tradition that your father's given you toward religion. I remember years ago, my father really didn't give this to somebody else, but I believed, for years, a teacher in high school taught me this, that as long as you were sincere in your beliefs, God's not going to send you to hell. I believed that for years. I said, that's got to be right.
Yeah, if God's a loving God, like he says, and somebody's sincerely a Muslim and sincere in there, then God would send them to hell. I was sincerely wrong. There's no doubt I was wrong. You're either come by, listen, either we're going to believe exactly what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's either one road to heaven or there's no road to heaven. Because all these other religions, none of them can tell you how to get to heaven. Oh, well, if you do this and this and this, you may be able to get to heaven. If you do these things right here, we can. I told you a few weeks ago, I worked around a Mormon guy. And he told me that after you die, you'll be given a chance. He said, well, you'll either believe in this life, or when you die, don't you worry, you'll be given a chance after you die to get right with God and become a Mormon. I said, well, what's the point? Why waste my life in religion? Why waste my life? Why not go live any way I want to, do anything I want to, if God's going to give me a chance afterwards to still go to heaven? I said, that's ignorant. Either if that is true, then why live this way at all? Why not just wait till... That's stupid. But that's what he believed, and that's what the Mormon Church teaches. Now, what they'll teach is that you won't make it to the third heaven. You'll only make it to like the first heaven or something. I don't know, something weird. They get, once again, they've got Scripture confused. When he talks about the first heaven in the heaven, in the Bible, he's talking about our atmosphere. When he's talking about the second heaven, he's talking about space. When Paul says, I know a man that went to the third heaven, he's making that distinction of where heaven is. Because if not, somebody could have said, oh, well, Paul was just, he was just on something and was, you know, having an experience, out-of-body experience and floating up in the clouds. Paul said, no, I went to the third heaven. I went to the heaven of heavens. I went to that one. He said, listen, we know your vain traditions. I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but I don't teach my daughters to pray some little repetitive prayer. You shouldn't teach yours. I'm not trying to be mean. I want to be honest with you this morning. You want to teach your kids to pray, teach them to pray. My kids have never heard, I don't even remember how it went now, as you prayed over your meal, that little repeat after me thing. Thank you, Lord, for this meat, this food. I don't remember how it went. I thank the Lord, but we were, I love my mom and dad, but that's how we were raised, repeating that prayer. Oh, Lord, let's go. I can remember when you sleep. And you go, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord, soul to take. No, teach your kids to pray. So when the time comes and God speaks to them, they'll speak to Him wholeheartedly. Teach them to pray. Listen, we've got such traditions and such false fables, and that we didn't listen. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. We didn't teach our kids Santa Claus. I'm not lying to my kids. I do the best. I'm sure that I probably have made mistakes, but I'm not lying to my children. That's why we don't do the Easter Bunny. That's why we don't do Santa Claus. That's why we don't do those different things. I want them to know that all good gifts, James says, all good gifts come from above, from the Father. That's what James said. Why would you want to take glory away from God? God's given you the ability to make the money. Most people just never think it out. God gave you the ability to make the money, the strength to make the money. God blessed you with the job or whatever. And then what we do at the end of it all, we turn around and give glory to some other guy. Rather than telling our kids. We said, listen, we want you to know where your gifts come from. The reason we're able to buy you what we're able to get you for your birthdays, for Christmas, whatever it may be. If we're going to celebrate Christmas, let's celebrate what it's for. It's for Christ. It's His birth, coming to this earth to die for us. It's not the exact date. We don't know the exact date. But that's just the time set apart to acknowledge it. Do we have to? No, you don't have to. It's most likely toward the end of October, because Jesus died. When he died, he was 33 and a half years old. When did he die? He died in about March or April. Do 6 months back, that would be half of a year. He died. He was born somewhere around October. That does not matter, though. It's not something worth fighting about. But don't take glory away from God.
And give it to, that's a vain tradition. He said, now verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. First John, flip over just a few pages to 1 John 1. First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Do you know what's good about that word right there, cleanseth? This is why you cannot put the Bible, this is another reason, you cannot put the Bible in modern language and it sound as eloquent and all. Do you know what cleanseth means? Cleanseth is a continual cleansing. When you say you cleanseth something, it means you continually. He says here, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That means continually we are cleaned by the blood of Jesus from our sins. Continually. That's what cleanseth means. That's why when He says He loveth, when you say I love it, that's a continual. See, I love my wife. How many of y'all in your lifetime, y'all promise? I used to love her. I used to love him. I love her. Like my family member, I won't say who because if I put this on the internet, but I had a family member come to me one time and said, hey, I just don't love my wife anymore. See, that's why the Bible, that's why it's an old English like it is. It's so much better than modern. Because He says He loveth us. That's a continual, never-ending love. Yeah, I'm okay.
That's a continual. He says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That means when you get saved, that means even sin after you get saved, He continues to cleanse you from. Number 5. Go back to 1 Peter chapter number 1. He says in verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, an unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Listen, the blood of Jesus is what it takes. And we're begotten of God. He's given us a bond that He's holding on. You must be born again. Finally, how do we know all this? Because of the book. Why is it important what book we use? Because man, God's word in those modern Bibles does not mean what it does here. But the word of the Lord endureth. Endureth. See that again. Endureth. The continual. Endureth. Continuing on. Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Why do I love this book? Because this is the same one that was preached to me all them years ago. When men of God, when Steve Robinson, the man that preached at Gospel Light Baptist Church, and then Mike Duffield, the man of God that I got saved under, they preached from this King James Bible. And after 20 years, I'm more sure of it now than I was all of them years ago. This is the Word of God. This book right here, this blessed old book that I hold in my hand, is true from beginning to end. How about this one? Have you been born again? Has this word, listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Has God made it sure in your heart? Have you been saved this morning? If not, so I'll come to this altar and get it under the blood. Cleanseth us by the blood of Jesus from all sin. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to hearts and lives, save sinners this morning, before it's everlasting too late. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. The altar's open.